8:01 on a Saturday morning. You are in the zone on a morning after the Wolves play in the Summer League and Zach LaVine gets paid. Wonderful to be with you on this beautiful Saturday morning in the Twin Cities. I am Dave Sinekin, joined as always by my partner, the professor of hoopology, Gopher legend, Bulls champion, Double T, Trent Tucker, who still has something in the tank after joining me for 3.5 hours yesterday afternoon. Good morning, T.
Good morning, Davey.
Do we have anything else to talk about?
Tons.
We do, don't we?
All right, yeah.
And look, I have Wimbledon on for you.
Yeah, Tonka fast pitch. How's that?
I'm heading down to St. Peter right after the show.
I know.
If I'm a little distracted, hour number two, I might be staring at my Game Changer app on my phone to keep track of how the girls are doing in their 9 o'clock lid lifter. But more on that later. We'll talk hoops. It was between World Cup and Wimbledon. I gave Trent the option on what we had on the screen this morning. And not surprisingly, he chose Rafi, who's up, he won 6-1, and trails 1-love in the second. Who is this D. Manauer guy?
I don't know.
No clue?
No clue.
There's no number next to his name.
That's true, so he's not seeded, right?
He is not a seeded player, and he's trailing. But we'll keep up to date on that. Your gal, Serena, has a clear path to the women's final as the 25th seed. Is that what I saw?
Yes.
What the heck?
Well, she's been out for a while.
Motherhood. Right?
Yeah, it takes you out for a little bit. She wasn't seated at the French Open, I don't think. A lot of people were upset with that. Thought that just because she decided to go and have a baby and come back, she still should be seated. But when she went to the All England Club, they got it right.
And as I said, clear path. 8 of the top 10 women are out. It's never happened before the fourth round before.
Yeah.
So it's all right there in front of your gal, Serena.
It's true.
Since we left the airwaves at 6:30.
Anything change?
Well, a pretty big story hit last night, right after. I mean, literally within 20 minutes of our show, it popped on my Twitter feed.
Okay.
We had just been talking about how most of the big money has been spent in NBA free agency. The guys that haven't been taken care of are the restricted free agents.
And our guy?
Our guy, Zach LaVine, or Jabari Parker, or Yusuf Nurkic, were all sitting on their hands waiting to get paid. And lo and behold, Zach LaVine gets signed by the Sacramento Kings to a 4-year, $78 million offer sheet. We were speculating, coming off the injury, would anybody commit to him? The Kings did, and the Bulls have 48 hours to match the offer, and reports from your guy Woj, I think it was later last night or early this morning, indicate the Bulls will indeed match that offer and keep young Zach LaVine among their promising core in Chicago. And I think a lot of Zach LaVine fans here, we heard from a couple last night who are still bemoaning the fact the Wolves traded him in light of the reported frustrations by Jimmy Butler among his teammates. LaVine will always be a favorite of many, and many will follow his career. And look, you can say what you want about his defensive inconsistencies or even lack of defensive ability. You cannot argue how hard this kid has worked. He's reportedly a guy that's in the locker room early. He puts in the work. And after a devastating injury that he's still trying to come back from, he will have a very thick bank account. That's a nice story.
It's a real nice story. I mean, you know, anytime you go down with a knee injury, especially when you're an athlete like he is, you don't know how you're going to come back to the game. But he worked very hard to get himself back in shape to rehab his knee. And now, you know, that hard work has paid off.
There were some reports in the last couple of days the Bulls weren't sold on LaVine, that some of those within the organization weren't sure he was one of those guys they wanted to build around. But clearly, the Bulls made the call that that's a guy they could not afford to lose. It would have been yet another young, promising player leaving the East and going to the West, and Sacramento is one of the few teams with that kind of money available to offer. So will they now go after Jabari Parker? That remains to be seen. Really the last big name restricted free agent out there that I can think of. But LaVine is now signed and sealed and will head back to Chicago. The Blazers also signed their center, Jusuf Nurkić, last night. 4 years, $48 million. So I did the math. That's 12 a year.
Not a bad paycheck.
No. And, you know, he's a nice big man. I mean, he certainly had, he got some injury issues, but had a nice season with the Blazers. They are now past the luxury tax points. They're going to pay a lot of money if they don't make some moves. I don't think their owner is going to care too much about that. I think Paul Allen would have to pay an extra $10 million right now. To you, well, to you, that's like $100. To me, that's probably like $10.
That's a lot of bucks.
It's a lot of bucks.
Yeah.
Nurkić signs out with the Blazers. And the Wolves had their summer league debut last night.
How'd it go?
They lost by a point. They fought back. They were down big and fought back to within a point. I watched the first half.
So anything you like?
Yes.
Okay.
I really like Josh Okogie's defense.
Okay.
You could already go to YouTube and look at the highlights from last night. I don't know how these people do this so quickly or care. He got two shots blocked in the first 5 minutes, and they were ugly.
I saw that.
And offensively, he struggled. He was 2 for 10. He hit a nice three late. Obviously, you get jitters. Rookie game, NBA, all these guys are struggling offensively. But Trent, you saw Okogie's body, right? He's got an NBA body. He's muscled. He's big. He looks like an NBA player. Not all rookies do at 19. He does. But defensively, man, he got after it. Again, he's playing a bunch of guys that aren't going to play in the NBA. I get that.
That's true.
But the quickness, you always hear at the draft night about wingspan. He's got a 7'4 wingspan. You could see it, Trent. I mean, he fought through screens. He chased guys down. He ended up, his stat line, again, only 10 points, 2 for 10. 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks, 2 steals. You just like to see the effort defensively in a team that desperately needs it. First glimpse of Josh Okogie. He's going to provide some defense for that second unit.
Okay.
So that looked good. Isaiah Cousins, rookie out of Oklahoma, led the way with 15. Second round pick, Bates Diop, 9 points, 7 rebounds. Another guy that looks like an NBA player. Big, again, big wingspan. What is he, 6'7", 6'8"? He looked all right. And Emile Jefferson had 12 points, 14 rebounds. Wolves back in action tomorrow afternoon, I believe, against the Raptors. You know, it's summer. It's fun to watch basketball. And we talked about it yesterday afternoon in for Bump. The Wolves have 12 players, assuming they're going to sign Bates Diop, which we all assume. They'll have 12 players under contract. They'll probably just sign two more guys. And whether it's one of these guys or a bigger name that has to settle for a minimum, that remains to be sort of sorted out the next few months. But a lot of dreams trying to be accomplished here in the summer league, which, when you played, there was no summer league, was there?
Yes.
There was?
Yeah, it was a summer league, but it wasn't like this. It wasn't televised. It wasn't as big as the summer league is today.
Well, that makes sense. It is amazing. I looked at the newspaper this morning. Virtually every summer league game is televised.
You
have the network, either NBA TV, ESPN2.
Well, yeah, the popularity of the NBA is at its all-time highest, and for sure, you know, people are flocking to Vegas or going down to Orlando, you know, to watch some of these summer league games. You know, people go to Chicago if they can to watch the combine. Basketball is very, very popular right now, worldwide.
Even though, as many fans bemoaned yesterday, only 3 teams can win, and everybody else is just playing through the season with no chance to win a championship.
Yeah, football is just about the same.
I disagree. I don't think football is. I think baseball is.
Okay, the teams that...
The Eagles were in last place the year before last.
Right, but every time you come out, every year you come out, who are the favorites to win the Super Bowl?
You may have favorites, Trent, but they don't always win.
The Green Bay Packers.
Well, yeah, for sure.
The New England Patriots. Maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers. Nobody really, you know, somebody may surprise you here and there. And
that happens a lot, though.
Right, but not really.
The Eagles won the Super Bowl. They were a last-place team the year before. Nobody was talking about the Eagles at this time last year.
Yeah, but, you know, Seattle has been good for over the years. Their defense was tough.
The Rams come out of nowhere and make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, but a lot of teams make the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's quite the same. And truly...
So let's go to Vegas right now. Who's the favorite to win the Super Bowl?
Patriots, probably. Eagles.
And who else? Packers.
Well, yeah, Vikes, Packers, right. Steelers.
But every year...
It doesn't mean it's going to happen.
But every year, the top teams, there are top few teams in the NFL that's always favorite.
They're favored. But again, like we saw last year, teams bubble up and surprise. That doesn't happen too often in the NBA. True? You don't see a team just jump out of last place and win the NBA championship.
No. I mean, but it takes time to build a team. But Golden State didn't just jump up out of nowhere.
No, they didn't.
It took them time to get there.
Yep.
The Houston Rockets, like I said yesterday, you know, they should have beaten the Golden State Warriors. They should have beaten them.
That was right there for them.
Right. You know,
Chris Paul gets hurt.
I just felt like that at, you know, and I've said this before, you know, at some point in time, coach has to win a basketball game for you. And I thought there was two games right there, you know, for the Houston Rockets coaching staff to take advantage of a situation that was right in front of them to move them on to the NBA championship, even without Chris Paul, and they could not find a way to do it.
Right, but back to the original point, if anybody outside of Golden State, Houston, or Boston wins the NBA title next season, you might just say Golden State, but I put those other two teams in there, it would be a huge story. I mean, really, those three have sort of set themselves apart from everybody else going into next season, correct?
Well, we don't know about Boston. I mean, because unless Kyrie Irving is healthy.
Well, we assume Hayward and Irving are back.
Okay, but Philadelphia was a few baskets here away, you know, from playing in the Eastern Conference Finals a year ago.
I'm just taking into account that Boston was undermanned.
Yeah, but I mean, Philadelphia, their best player couldn't shoot, and they were all young, right? Yep. So it was two young teams going head-to-head. Mm-hmm. I think Boston may have had a few more veterans here and there with Al Horford and Smart and Morris and some few other guys here and there who played some significant minutes for them. But think about this. I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks took the Boston Celtics to a seventh game.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe the separation isn't huge, but if you ask most people, name three teams that can win the NBA championship, those are the three teams everyone's going to name.
Well, I mean, as you know, you do the same thing in the NFL. You start this season, somebody's going to say, well, I think the Green Bay Packers can win because of Aaron Rodgers. Well, for sure, Tom Brady in New England. And where we go from there?
The Eagles. Maybe the defending champs.
Maybe the Eagles.
Who lost their quarterback.
Maybe the Eagles. Be back. You're not going to say the Washington Redskins.
You're not going to say the Minnesota Vikings, clearly.
I can say the Vikings, too.
Well, it didn't come to your head.
I can say that, but most people are going to say who?
Well, the Vikes are favored over the Pack right now, slightly.
But most people are going to say Aaron Rodgers is favored to get to the Super Bowl, right or wrong?
Well, smart people would,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those that are intelligent.
I'll say most people.
Despite what many believe that the NBA has, you know, have no chance if you're a fan of the Blazers, the Nuggets, the Wolves. We love the game. We love the long season. We love night in, night out, whether it's, you know, a Tuesday night against the Kings or a Saturday night against the Warriors. NBA fans love to watch this game and watch these players play. And since we sat down together 2 weeks ago, a lot has changed. And, of course, the most significant move was LeBron James deciding to play for Magic Johnson and the Los Angeles Lakers, the most popular NBA brand there is. LeBron has been a fixture in the finals, Trent, for 8 straight seasons. I'm guessing that streak ends this year. And at 33, soon to be 34, a lot of minutes on those legs. What, he's got, you know, maybe 3-4 good years left if he's immortal, maybe a few more if he's immortal. Where do you think his head's at as far as his expectations for this team this season and maybe the long look at, you know, a year from now with more money to spend where this Lakers team might be able to compete in the West?
Well, he's expecting for these guys to play at a high level, work on their craft, especially during the offseason, so that they can be the best at the game that they're supposed to bring to the team so that we can be a better team. He's not going to L.A. to finish last, even though he may not have all the parts, you know, to win the championship this year. But trust me, he's looking to have a team that could compete with the best in the West.
Well, unlike his Cleveland counterparts, where it was very veteran-laden around him, right? Kevin Love, J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver, George Hill, a lot of veterans that have been around a long time. The core of the Lakers is just the opposite. It's, you know, Ingram and Kuzma and Hart and Ball, a bunch of young kids still trying to figure things out. So Magic brings in a bunch of guys that have played. Rajon Rondo, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, JaVale McGee, Lance Stephenson. Bunch of guys, and as you very smartly mentioned last night, all on one-year deals. So they're all rental players. If there's chemistry, if things go well, maybe you bring one or two of them back. But he did surround LeBron with a number of accomplished players, with all different, very different than his Cleveland teammates. None of these guys can shoot. Doesn't have a guy that can stand in the corner, let LeBron do his thing, kick it out to a guy to drop a three in. So it's an interesting grouping of players and some highly spirited guys. You look at Rondo and Stevenson. I mean, those guys are a little off the wall. It's a really weird collection. I'm very curious to see how it all works out.
Well, you know, Luke Walton is going to have his hands full.
Yes, sir.
And he may have to adjust, you know, some of the things he would like to do as a head coach, because he wants to get up and down. You know, he wants to play like his buddy Steve Kerr plays over in Golden State. And maybe with this group, you may not be able to play that way. So I think some of the adjustments is going to come from him and his coaching staff to see if they can find the right balance for this team.
Going to be very interesting to see where the Lakers stack up in a very stacked West. The Wolves hoping to hold their own, and they've got their own issues, which we'll get to. The Jimmy Butler reports this week have dominated conversation in this market the last couple of days. We'll weigh in on that and all kinds of other interesting player movement to talk about. Plenty of NBA discussion this morning and in the zone, and we welcome your input. 651-989-5326. Toll free, 800-320-5326, or send us an email, Brad Sean Bryant inbox, booth@kfan.com. Just getting started in the zone.
You're in the zone with Trent Tucker and Dave Sinekin on The Fan.
Programming on The Fan brought to you by Madden's on Gull Lake.
Back with you at 8:23. You're in the zone on a Saturday morning. Tucker and Sinekin with you till 10. We'll hand things off to Tee to Green, common man Dan Cole at 10 o'clock to talk all things golf. I'm sure they will weigh in on the proposed Tiger Woods Phil Mickelson $10 million winner take all match that's reportedly close to being signed on for, which we both said yesterday we will watch. A full, you know, from start to finish, I will be tuned in. The issue
for
is.
Sure.
What if Tiger's up like, you know, whatever, six with, you know,
four holes to go?
Well, even eight holes to go. I mean, you hope it's a close match. Because if it's not, what are you doing?
Still watching.
Yeah, but it loses some of its luster. You hope it's a good match.
Yeah.
The big story locally the last 48 hours was the Joe Cowley report on the Chicago Sun-Times that Jimmy Butler is, quote, fed up with the nonchalant ways of the young superstars to be here in Minnesota. This is nothing new for Jimmy Butler. He was fed up with Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah back in his Bulls days.
And the head coach.
And the head coach. Antoine Walker's on record saying Butler is just a bad locker room guy that he can't get along with.
Antoine Walker?
Yeah, that, you know, grain of salt department, because Walker wasn't the greatest teammate either. But he's on record as saying he doesn't think Butler's a good locker room guy. He's an intense guy. We talked about it yesterday. Blue collar, worked his butt off to get where he is. And maybe he does take offense when he sees these prized young players walk into tens of millions of dollars without putting in the work that he had to put in.
What if he had a problem with Derrick Rose? Derrick Rose is the best player on his team.
Right. And the fan has learned he's still a teammate of Derrick Rose.
Yeah, so if he had a problem with Derrick Rose, he had a problem with the wrong guy in Chicago at that time.
I would think so.
Because Derrick Rose was the reason why, you know, the Chicago Bulls became one of the favorites in the Eastern Conference.
That's correct.
Before he went down with an injury.
Yes.
Okay.
So you made an interesting point yesterday, and for those that weren't listening, I want you to talk about it again. It's unusual when you see a team's best player throw other franchise players under the bus. First, there was a report he couldn't play with Wiggins, which came out a couple weeks ago. Now this one, he doesn't like playing with Towns. And you think there is sort of an underlying thing going on here that you can read between the lines?
Well, I mean, you know, I stated this a few weeks ago when he talked about Andrew Wiggins. I just think that he wants to play somewhere else.
It's an interesting way to go about it, though, if that's the case, because it does make things really weird when they all get back together in September or whenever they do. You know, if you're Towns or Wiggins, you kind of look at him sort of cockeyed, like, really?
Not only Towns and Wiggins, what about the coaching staff? He's a Tibbs guy. And all of a sudden, these reports are out there now that perhaps your best player is telling you that he doesn't want to play with these two young guys anymore. To me, it just it's a sign that he just wants to play somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. It could also be looked at as, I don't know how to get these guys to play with intensity. I'm going to try to light a fire under them to understand that the way you played last year is not going to work. Let's do it the way Tibbs and I want to do it and see if we can light a fire. That's another way to look at it. But you don't know how players are going to respond to that.
They played hard last year. You don't think the Wolves played hard last year?
Well, I'm not doubting
that. They won 47 basketball
games. I'm not doubting that, but
17
I'm not with them.
16-game improvement?
No, the results were there. But, you know, if Butler doesn't see them working in practice, absorbing things, they're playing Fortnite all night long and not, you know, maybe spending some time in the playbook, that can bug old-school type players like Butler. They're video game
maybe,
guys. He's
I
not.
Know.
I think there is a generational issue here. Yeah, he's only 28, 29, but these guys are 20 or 21.
I think he's searching for something.
Well, maybe, but I don't think so. I mean, I think that's one way to look. We don't know. Look, we're not in bed with Jimmy Butler, not literally, but figuratively. We don't know what his reasoning is for talking to reporters about this stuff. But I think there is a way to look at it, like maybe this is his way to try to light a fire. Maybe it's not like, get me out of here. And maybe it is, but I don't think it's definitely that way.
They put an extension in front of it.
Yeah, but there's no reason to sign it now, Trent, for 110 when he can get 180 next year. I mean, there's just
no
reason.
From the Wolves?
Yeah.
Okay.
He'd be walking away from tens of millions if he signed it now.
You think he's going to sign to 180?
Right now, I would say I'd lean against it, but I wouldn't say no. I mean, it's a year. A lot can happen in a year. A lot can happen.
I just think he wants to go somewhere else and play.
You might be right.
Yeah.
To the zone lines
wrong.
We go.
I could
this,
be wrong, too.
The fan is
I would
learned.
Like to be wrong.
You could be wrong.
I would like to be wrong.
On this subject, Peter in Shakopee joins the program. Good morning.
Good morning, Trent. You're exactly right. He wants to go elsewhere, and this is his way of forcing a trade. The problem is the Wolves made a huge mistake when they traded for this guy and didn't insist upon a sign and trade. Now he's got him in a corner. He's bought. The Wolves are boxed, and their only option is to try and trade this guy. Now, if he wants to play with Kyrie Irving so bad, Boston has the assets to certainly make a trade, and the Wolves should absolutely do this. As far as LaVine goes, I'm not surprised. He doesn't play any defense, but there's no way the Bulls is going to let him go and admit that they made at least somewhat of a mistake on that trade. If it's true that at one time Tibbs wanted to trade Wiggins for Butler, they should have done it straight up, because what they gave up in with Markkanen and Dunn and LaVine for Butler, they're never going to get that back. But they better trade right now, because I think Butler's dead serious. I think he will walk. Thank you.
Yep, thanks for the call. I mean, that is certainly one line of thought. It certainly could be the correct line of thought. I don't know. I don't see Boston breaking up their young core to bring in Jimmy Butler, though. I just don't see that. They're already a title contender.
Well, they may not be able to play all those young guys.
Well,
it's a lot of talent at a certain position. And some of these guys are going to be around for maybe another year or two. Okay? You know, Danny Ainge, you know, he likes to have moving parts. Do you take a Jaylen Brown? Do you take Rozier? Do you take, you know, somebody else? You know, because Gordon Hayward is locked up for a very long time.
And he's a Brad Stevens guy. He's not trading Gordon Hayward.
He's got big money.
And Jason Tatum's a superstar in the making.
Okay.
So where's Butler play? I mean, you've got a 2 and a 3 locked up.
Well, you know, he has an expiring contract. Danny Ainge may want to get back in the game next year.
Now, I don't see Boston breaking up that core for Butler.
You're always looking for a way to improve your team. If you don't win the NBA championship, you're still looking for ways to make your team better.
I get it, but they were missing maybe their two best
players.
But they
also could lose Kyrie Irving as well.
Well, and that's what, to me, the more likely scenario is Irving and Butler hang out in New York together.
Well, so
join the Knicks.
So all of a sudden, if Danny Ainge gets two expiring big-time contracts, all of a sudden now he's back in the game to look at some of these other big guys to come in. Now he can bounce off his team. So if
I think his team's bounced off already.
So if you lose Kyrie Irving, all of a sudden you put a DeAndre Jordan in the middle.
You got Al Horford.
DeAndre Jordan in the middle. Shot blocker, defensive guy, rebounder. To go along with this young talent, you want to get up and down and run now. All of a sudden you are you a really, really dangerous basketball team in the Eastern Conference. You had a shot blocker like that with those athletes who can get out and defend and run. Boston is even better than they are today. So all of a sudden now you got assets that you can look at. You got pieces that you can move around. You know, you have a chessboard. You can say, hey, look, maybe I can add this here or that. Because there are going to be a ton of players out there now who might come in to be able to fit into your team. They can already make you better than you are today because Embiid is going to be a serious guy
to deal with.
He's going to be a serious guy to deal with. And all of a sudden, now you put a DeAndre Jordan, you know, with the Boston Celtics, and they keep that young core together. See, now you got your defensive stopper. You don't have to worry about double teaming as much. So now you don't leave guys open for 3-point shots. You're not on the rotation. Now you can man up and play one-on-one defense. All of a sudden, now your defense looks a whole lot different.
Except you can't have him on the floor in the final 4 minutes of a close game.
He's been on the floor for throughout his career.
Can't make free throws. He hasn't played in a lot of big games, Trent. That mean things, though. If it's the Eastern Conference Finals game five and they're down by 6 in the final 2 minutes, he's not playing.
I'm going to put him out there.
You are?
Yes, because we still got to get stops.
Well, granted, but they're just going to foul him and he's going to hack.
If you're in 2 minutes. Can't do that. There you go.
We have to break. Full phone lines. We're talking NBA in the zone. We'll get to all your calls when we return after these.
You're in the zone with Dave Sinekin and Trent Tucker on The Fan.
This guy had some game in his day. Wayman Tisdale brings us back in the zone. Tucker and Sinekin on a beautiful Saturday morning in the Twin Cities talking NBA, catching up on all the moves and where the Wolves stand right now with the precarious Jimmy Butler situation. Tweeter Bronco Bob reminds me about the All-Star game where Butler decided last minute not to play, which I slammed at the time. I was not happy with number 23's decision there. It's fine if you don't want to play, but, you know, tell the team, look, I'm banged up, appreciate the honor, find someone else to fill out your roster to play. I'm not going to just be a cheerleader on the bench and have some fun. That sort of was the first little, you know, problem with number 23 in my mind. That, like, really, Butler? I mean, I'm a big Jimmy Butler fan. I have been since he played at Marquette. And I was thrilled when he came here. But that decision was one that had me scratching my head, and he makes you wonder, well, what's going on between this guy's ears? Why would you be selfish and take up a spot if you have no intention of playing? Am I wrong on that point? Is it just an exhibition? Let the guy be a cheerleader?
No, you're not wrong.
I'm not. That was a problem, right?
I mean, yeah, for sure.
So maybe the guy is a little wacky.
I mean, so like I said, you know, if you don't want to play, why go to the All-Star game and take up a spot, you know, to somebody else who may have wanted to go and play? I asked you the question yesterday. I asked you again this morning.
No, don't do it.
What are you pretending not to know?
Yeah. Again, I'm trying to wrap my head around that question. It's just too deep for me. I don't know where to go with it. You asking Butler that question?
I'm asking you. What are you pretending not to know?
I don't know. What am I supposed to say to that? I'm pretending not to know that he's kind of a whack job?
No, that he wants to play somewhere else.
Oh. You're 100% sure about that?
Yeah,
with his comments?
I'm just looking. I mean,
you know how players go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he just wants to play somewhere else. That's what I believe.
Just that, well, if that's the case, and it's very, very possible, and you might even say likely, the fact that he would go about it that way reveals more about his character as well, right? I'm going to throw my teammates under the bus. It's their fault that I don't want to be here. You know, it's not the fact that, again, as I said yesterday, I don't like Juicy Lucy's, and that's the state sandwich. I don't want to be here. It's, I don't like these guys. They don't work hard enough, so I'm out. Why go about it, if that's the case, why go about it that way and not just say, look, go up to Tibbs and Layden quietly and say, look, nothing against you guys. I don't like my situation here. I want to win. I can win in the East. I can bring my guy Kyrie with me. We can go somewhere like New York and try to build something. So if you can move me in the next 12 months, it might be in your best interest. Isn't that the classy way to do it, if that's indeed what you're thinking?
He could do what LeBron James did. Just play the entire season, and at the end of the year, you have the right to opt out. You say, I'm going to test the waters.
That's the classy way to do it.
What LeBron James did.
Yeah. Right. Well, and apparently if that's Jimmy's end game, he chose not to do it that way.
Right.
And it could make for a very
peculiar season. Well, once you come out and make those types of statements about your teammates, especially in a public setting, if, like I said, you know, we don't know if all those stories are true or not, but, you know, there's something to the story.
Yeah.
It's hard now to repair that in the locker room in a short period of time. I mean, because one thing goes wrong this year, all of a sudden now emotions boil over. You know, team chemistry goes out the window. What was 47 wins look good to all of us? First round of the playoffs, Butler gets hurt, maybe knocked them down to a one-game situation where they had to fight to get into the eighth spot. Maybe they stay at 4 or 5 if he doesn't get hurt. Things could be different. But all of a sudden now you come into the offseason and you're not talking about going into training camp. How can we rebuild on what we did a year ago?
Right.
Now we're dealing with this situation.
Right. And now, once again, instead of being the team like we were last summer with finally the superstar that wants to play here, instead of having to move a guy like Kevin Love who doesn't want to be here, now we're right back where we always are.
Right.
With the superstar that doesn't want to be here, and how do we try to make the best of it? Let's talk to the Roos, beginning with my favorite Timberwolves, Usher, old Southside guy. Good morning.
Davey, good morning. Good to hear you.
You Davey, too.
First question for you. How was the golf in California?
Torrey Pines was beautiful. The weather was not great the day I played. It was cloudy and cool, a little mist in the air. But I would rather play nowhere else than Torrey Pines. I had a great time. Met up with three guys. And had a wonderful 4 hours. It was beautiful.
Oh, I bet it was. Had a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen, as you know, Dave, I see all the Timberwolf and the Lynx games live. And I just wanted to make a comment. I don't know if you saw this or not, but the last Lynx game, which was on ESPN, there was some great TV there when Cheryl Reeve got that second technical and was ejected from the game. That was as animated as I've seen a coach. She got that second technical, charged out the center court of, I think it was Van Gundy a few years ago that had to be restrained in the NBA. I don't know if you happened to see that or not.
I did not.
Yeah, and unfortunately she wasn't around for Rebecca Brunson's rebound record and when she was presented with the game ball. But listen, on to my Timberwolves questions. We all know the Timberwolves have 12 guys under contract now, and Tibbs' background has been never to play young guys. What I hope I don't see, and I know we have to fill a couple of roster spots, I don't want to see a Joakim Noah and a Boris Diaw coming in on these minimum contracts and playing time away from some of the young guys. I would just like you and Trent to comment on that. Do you think Tibbs can change a little bit of his philosophy and hopefully play some of these young guys?
Yeah, thanks, Southside. We talked a bit about this yesterday. You know, what do you do with these last two spots? Do you reward maybe a couple guys that surprise you in the summer league? Or do you hope that as the money dries up and more guys are taking one-year deals, hoping to, you know, get a little bit of playing time and show something and maybe get a sweeter deal next year, can you get a cheap veteran that might contribute more quickly than a, you know, an Emile Jefferson or a Terrell, the kid from Rhode Island, who clearly would have an uphill battle for playing time.
Well, you know, based on his record and you look at his history, you know, he likes veteran players. We don't trust rookies a lot. And with those last two or three spots, you know, if they can find, like you just mentioned, a veteran who would come in and play for the minimum, he may look to go that route.
The ideal type of guy is a 3-point shooter. That's still the biggest need to fill out this bench. Would you agree? Because
oh, for sure,
the two rookies you brought in are not going to be big time 3-point shooters. Certainly not for a year or two.
Yeah,
if ever.
And you just lost your best 3-point shooter, I believe, even though he couldn't stay healthy long enough to show you what he could really do.
Be elite, so yeah. Went to Philly.
So
Tolliver was brought in to shoot threes.
Yeah, but Tolliver is going to be more of a role player. You know, he's not going to play, you know, I don't see him playing 28 to 35 minutes a night.
No, he'll play 15 to 20, but right. Anybody else they bring into this roster is going to be in the same boat.
Yeah, they're going to have to find a way to add some shooting to this team because, you know, you need some guys today that can shoot that ball beyond the arc. You know, that's the way the game is going. It opens up the floor. It allows your better athletes now to have more space to operate. And it gives the inside guys some more space to play one-on-one basketball better. You know, but if you can't find outside shooting, you know, at some point in time, the defense is going to pack it in, take away your inside game, take away the drive for sure. And they're going to force you to beat them over the top.
Yep, I don't know who's still out there that's a capable, you know, 38% to 42% 3-point shooter. But hopefully, Layden and Tibbs and company are scouring the waiver wire to see who might be out there.
That's true.
All right, let's grab one more here. This segment to Detroit Lakes we go. Andrew is in the zone. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Always great to be in the zone.
All right,
thanks for checking in.
Absolutely, Sid. Obviously, this problem is simply twofold. Jimmy Butler is frankly, he's a diva. He's worked his way up to the point of where he's a superstar in the game, and he's got all these superstar friends and whatnot. And, he's kind of letting it get to his head, in my opinion, a little bit. I think him putting all this stuff out in the media rather than keeping it in the locker room, sitting face to face and talking with these kids is what I believe he should be doing rather than putting on the media and saying that he's fed up. And then Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, he sees these kids as being basically given the world, former first overall picks at big time universities that I think he thinks is kind of just taking it for granted, this opportunity, in the sense that they have all the ability in the world, all this athletic ability, and they're not taking it seriously on both ends of the court. They're interest in the big box score and the big payday, and not as serious about the little things that don't show up in the stat sheet about that it takes to win. As far as I'm concerned, the right thing for Jimmy to do is to take these kids under his wing more consistently and more often, especially in the off season, to kind of show them the whys of why you do these little things and why it took me or what it took me to get to the point where I am. When I'm not given the world and the opportunity where a team is focused around me and bringing on both sides of the court so that we do win, you do see the successes of that. Therefore, you'll get paid. You'll still have the big box score, but you'll still win consistently. And like I said, just putting this stuff on the media, all it does is kind of show that, you know, you're more about yourself at the end of the day is how it feels rather than really just taking the product that's in front of you, getting the most out of it, and continue to mold these kids into having that dog that you have inside you and putting it inside of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. Thank you for the call. I mean, a lot of what you were saying, you know, sort of blended in there. Is it an excuse, you know, to get himself out of here? Why go that route? I think it sort of shows maybe a bit who he is. And I do think there is something to these guys, big-time universities, number one picks, handed everything since they were eight. They've always been the man. And here they come getting all their money, and they're not putting in the work that I've put in and that Tibbs wants them to put in, and they're enjoying life too much. And that might be an issue, but why go public with it? Why go that route? Because it's gonna hurt everything. It's going to hurt your trade chances. It's going to hurt the team's chances. The players aren't going to respond to you. It's just a disappointing development in what we thought was a really exciting young core here.
Well, yeah, I mean, you hate to go into the offseason, especially now with the first part of July past, knowing the training camp is not far away, and the topic of conversation is that now your best player is saying that he can't play with his other two young stars. You know, no coach or organization wants to be dealing with this type of stuff at this time of the year. You know, we are hoping now that everybody's on the same page, guys are working out, they're having some sort of summer communication and talking about the things they need to do now to improve themselves as players so that we can be a much stronger team going into next season. But that's not the topic of conversation at this stage.
No, it is not. Let's change the topic of conversation for a call talking about you, I guess.
About me?
Patrick River Falls joins us in the zone. Good morning.
Hi, it's Patrick.
What's up, Patrick?
Well, I was listening to you guys yesterday coming home, mm-hmm. and I was expecting that bumper guy.
Right.
And it was very refreshing.
Well, thank
and,
you.
And listening to Trent Tucker, I had a reminder of mine as I used to shovel the driveway and then the sun would come out. I'd have enough driveway to shoot some hoops, and I'd go at night and listen to the Gophers and listen to Ray Christensen say, he hit that one from University Avenue.
I don't think he's talking about Randy Brewer either.
No, and Trent Tucker.
Yes.
One of my favorites. And
right.
Knicks aren't my favorite team by any means, but I followed them just because Trent Tucker was there, and he was wonderful. But anyway, you are still wonderful, Trent Tucker.
Thanks.
I'll agree.
My thought on Jimmy Butler, though, is he was brought here to be a leader. And you guys talk about contracts and moving people, this, that, the other thing. And money, I know, is the biggest mover on this thing. But what have we heard anything from Jimmy Butler? Or is this all being brought up? And Wiggins, he's still a young kid. Why wouldn't he want to come in and be a leader and teach him instead of ripping him? Anyways, I'll hang up and list you guys.
Well, thanks, and appreciate the comments. I'm sure Trent does too. I think it just goes to your thinking is he doesn't care about trying to get these guys. He's made the decision to head somewhere else. He doesn't like this fit. And maybe it's more about, oh, my God, LeBron's in the West now, and Chris Paul just signed for 4 years, 160, so the Rockets aren't going anywhere. Golden State's got five All-Stars starting. What am I doing here? I got to go to the East. I got to at least give myself a chance and try to build something there. And that, if that is what he's thinking, and this is the way he decided to go about starting the process, I don't respect it. I don't like it, but it does make some sense.
Well, he wanted to play with Kyrie Irving. I mean, when he came here, last year, you know, everyone was talking about, you know, do you make the trade for Kyrie Irving? You know, the Cleveland Cavaliers was looking to move him for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not Cavaliers weren't really looking to move him, but he was forcing his way out of Cleveland. He said he wanted to be traded. He didn't want to play with LeBron James anymore. He wanted to have his own team. He wanted to show people, you know, that he could lead a team by himself. He goes to Boston. You know, he gets hurt at the end of the year, but clearly he was the guy, you know, before he went down with the injury. And during that time when the Cavaliers was looking to move Kyrie Irving, you know, the talks were that would he come here? And the name that was thrown out there was Andrew Wiggins. And I have to believe during that time that, you know, Butler and Carl Anthony Towns, so they would love to play with Kyrie Irving.
Mm-hmm.
So he has thrown it out there even a year ago that at some point in time he would love to have a chance to play with Kyrie Irving.
Right, that's not news, and there have been reports that trade was available, but the owner didn't want to do it. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. Irving brings his own, you know, bag of issues as well, has not stayed healthy. There were reports yesterday that multiple teammates confirmed that Irving wanted nothing to do with LeBron coming back to Cleveland. He wanted Cleveland to be his own team. And when LeBron was speaking in his ear, I might come back here, Irving was in the locker room saying, who wants him? I don't want him back here. So Irving wants to be the man.
Wants his own team. And I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you try to move on to find a team that, you know, that would take you and allow you to do some of the things that you would like to do. And Boston gave him that opportunity. And now he's talking about, well, you know, after this year, I can opt out of my deal. And maybe I want to go back to the area where I grew up at, in the New York, New Jersey area, and see if I can play for the Knicks. You know, but anytime you bring a collection of people together, you know you're going to find some issues with certain players. You're going to find some guys that they may not all be team players. They want to run their own show. They want to do their own thing. And it's nothing wrong with that. But as an organization, you have to identify that very quickly and then decide if these are the right guys for you or not.
So it'll make for an interesting offseason and perhaps season for our favorite basketball team. We'll continue to discuss this. We'll hear from Josh and Matt and Mike and Greg. If you hold through the break, your calls are next as we roll into hour number two in the zone.
You're in the zone on the Fan.
On a Saturday morning, hour number two in the zone. Tucker and Sinekin hanging out, talking NBA. Won't be long. We'll sprinkle in some NFL conversation here in the next few weeks. Training camp's, 3 weeks away from opening? That's going to be awfully fun. But for now, it's all NBA, and we're trying to catch up on all the player movement. The Jimmy Butler story has kind of hijacked things a bit. Talked about LeBron going to the Lakers. Paul George stays in OKC and Boogie Cousins to Golden State. The West continues to just get stronger and stronger. Between those two moves, George staying in OKC and Boogie heading to Golden State, which was more of a surprise to you?
Paul George staying in OKC.
Because by all accounts, most believed he was heading to L.A.
And, for sure, yeah.
And maybe joining LeBron and trying to build something that way. What do you think might have changed, or do you think we got it wrong from the start?
Maybe we got it wrong from the start, or he looked at, you know, the situation and the pressure that he was going to be under by going back home to L.A. to play for the Lakers, and he just felt like that, wow, do I really need this? I can find the type of money I'm looking for in Oklahoma City. I'm playing with another great player in Russell Westbrook. Maybe the organization told him that they were looking to move on from Carmelo Anthony and that he and Russ were going to run the team. I'm assuming that they were able to sell him on something to convince him that Oklahoma City was the right place for him.
Yeah, because they can't do much roster-wise. Their hands are tied. Now, Carmelo Anthony is going to be either released or traded or cut or stretched, as they like to say, which will help things out. But right now, they're way over the luxury tax, and they can't add a lot of talent around the three big guys getting paid, which also includes Steven Adams.
Well, you know, they have enough talent to win in Oklahoma City. You have, you know, Russell Westbrook, you know, Paul George, Steven Adams. You know, those three guys are good enough, you know, to win. Now it all comes down to, can Billy Donovan, you know, who's one of my former teammates.
Yes.
You know, can he put the right mix together, you know, to get this team over the hump? They should be a whole lot better than they are.
And we'll see what progress they make now that they have George locked in. A lot of teeth gnashing among NBA fans when Boogie took his talents and everything that comes with it to Golden State on a one-year, $5 million deal. He was not getting offers from anybody, and we can understand that. A, the Achilles tendon torn, very difficult to come back from, and probably going to cost him at least the first half of the season, not to mention the baggage that DeMarcus Cousins brings with his demeanor, his temperament, his personality. He's worn out a number of coaches and teams already. Golden State was about the only place he could go to try to, you know, repair that reputation while he repairs his Achilles. Isn't going to walk into a place that needs him desperately, but what punch he could give that team if he is ready to return by the All-Star break and then in the playoffs, could allow him to get a big payday a year from now, right?
Well, if he's healthy, especially after the All-Star break, like you talked about, you know, he's going to give them a huge plus, you know, going into the playoffs for sure. And, you know, with those outside shooters and Kevin Durant, and now you have perhaps one of the best low post players in the game as well, they become very difficult, you know, to match up with. But as you mentioned, Golden State was the only team at this time that could take this chance, because if it does not work out, they're still favored to win the NBA championship.
Yeah, with or without Boogie, they're the preeminent favorites to win, obviously. All right, to the zone lines we go. A number of you kind enough to hold through the break. We'll try to run through all these calls this segment, beginning with Josh in Minneapolis. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh. You bet.
I just tuned in, so I apologize if you have covered this angle already on Jimmy Butler. But after his comments, don't we have to cut this guy loose? You know, an asset like that walking for nothing would just really set this team back. Now, I realize that the rest of the league probably understands at this point that they could get him for nothing a season from now. But, you know, don't you still have to take whatever you can get for him at this point?
Yeah, and thanks for the call. Cutting him loose, obviously, is not what you meant. It's like, can you try to work a deal? The Wolves may find themselves in the same spot that the Spurs are in, Rod, with Kawhi Leonard. The only difference being Jimmy Butler is presumed healthy, where Kawhi Leonard, nobody really knows exactly the status of his quad. But the Spurs are in a similar boat. You know, what kind of a haul can you get for him? And can you trade him to a team that believes they will re-sign him? Because it's unlikely you're going to trade Kawhi Leonard under the stipulation that he signs long-term. That's the new team's problem. You're going to trade him saying, you got him for a year, it's up to you to sign him long-term. And that could be the same case with Butler if the Wolves decide to move him. But would Tibbs be up for moving him? He moved heaven and earth to bring his guy, Jimmy Butler, here to be the leader of this team. And is he convinced at this point that it's time to do that? I don't think he is, and I do believe that Butler will start the season with this team, and if things don't go great and there's griping and he's not happy, then you've got until the trade deadline to try to make a deal. Otherwise, yes, you do risk the potential of losing him for nothing, which would be catastrophic.
But also, you run the risk of losing your team, because at the end of the day, it's all about doing what's best for the team. And I know you're the head coach and you're the GM, and I know you like this guy a great deal. And like you said, you had to make some moves and convince some people that making the trade for this guy, you know, would be the right thing for our team. And Jimmy Butler coming here has been good for the Wolves. You know, you just hate to go into your second year, head into your second year and to deal with this type of stuff. And to me, when this is on the table, this is not good going forward.
No.
So now, as the head coach and the VP of the basketball operations, you have to really sit down and think about not only what's good for the player, but what's good for the team.
Right, and that's number one. The player is secondary. You like the guy, you want him to land on his feet, whatever. But you're charged and you're paid millions of dollars to make this team, and your owner has applied a lot of pressure.
It's your team.
He expects to win right now. It's time.
This is your team now.
Yep.
Because you are the head coach and the VP of basketball operations. You're the guy that's making the moves. And if I'm the owner, I'm trusting you to do what's right, not by just the players, but by the team as well.
Back to the zone lines we go to Brooklyn Park. Our friend Matt joins the program. Good morning, sir.
Oh.
Hello, Matt.
I'm sorry, guys. Hey, guys, I'm just wondering, I'm assuming today's 2 hours is going to be a piece of cake for you guys compared to yesterday's marathon. I'm picturing you guys sitting at your desk with your feet up, drinking coffee and eating donuts. Am I right?
I'm not going to say yes. I'm not going to say no.
Well, you guys have earned it. You know, Dave, you mentioned the Levine thing. I wasn't able to finish listening to the rest of the show, but when I heard about it last night, the first thing I thought of is, oh, my God, I wonder if that came out during Dave and Trent's show, because you guys would have needed 6 hours if that thing would have come out, just because of the history with Levine and stuff like that. So anyway, I have two quick questions, one for both. I'll just ask them both and then hang up. Trent, I'll bet that this nonsense, I don't like this stuff that Butler and like with Kawhi Leonard, two of my favorite players who I'm just really turning on a little bit. I'll bet this stuff, and I know there was no social media, this stuff didn't go on back in your day, I'm assuming. I think we need a guy like Charles Oakley to be on different teams to just set these guys straight. And I'm serious about this, because it's cowardly what these players are doing. And it's putting themselves so much ahead of the team. But let us know how it was back in your day, even without social media. And then, Dave, I heard you mention Jabari Parker yesterday. I don't know if you mentioned that other signing, which I think is a really good under-the-radar signing of Ersan Ilyasova. I think that that puts the Bucks. I want to see what you think. Right up there with the Sixers is maybe that second or third seed. I think they've got a really good roster. I love Giannis. I heard my first interview with him the other day, and he's a great guy. I don't ever see him being like Butler and Leonard and some of these other guys. But what do you think of your Bucks? And then, Trent, let me know how it was back in your day as far as, you know, calling out players and coaches and stuff like that.
Yeah,
thanks, guys.
Thanks, Matt. Trent, I'll let you take it first.
Well, I mean, if you had a issue with a player on your team, you know, you would go to him man to man and have a personal conversation, you know, with that player. And if you thought a guy wasn't doing some of the things that he needed to do, you know, to help the team, then you have a team meeting and have that conversation and bring that out among each other. But you know, to me it is mind blowing to see a guy just go out publicly and just blast his teammates like that.
Well, let's take a step back for 1 second, though. I mean, it's one reporter out of Chicago throwing this out there, and we all run with it and go crazy because that's what we do in this world.
But there's something to this. I mean,
you would think there is
some smoke. This guy didn't just wake up one morning and write this.
Probably not.
Okay.
Unless he's really a disgruntled Bulls fan and is still mad that Butler's not playing there anymore, so he's just trying to trash the situation he's in now, which is unlikely.
Yeah.
But I heard Colley with JG, and he was all over the place. He was ripping Doogie and Britt Robson, calling them local hacks who lap up to the ownership and just tell them what they want to hear and never go to games. And that's laughable. I mean, those guys are grinders. And I'll take Britt Robson's reporting and put it up there with anybody who covers the NBA. And if you think he's a lapdog for ownership, you haven't done your homework. So that gives me pause right there. And Colley, who writes for the Sun-Times, reportedly spends a lot of time here, too. So he should know the lay of the land here. And I don't give him much credit there for ripping some local guys who work their butts off. So that, to me, goes into the grain of salt department. And let's just, yes, it's a big story, and where there's smoke, there's fire, and we'll see how it plays out. But let's not go to DEFCON 5 just because Joe Colley wrote something in the Sun-Times.
Well, I mean, if the stories are true, but you know, the question is whether, but I don't think anybody would just put that story out there just to put it out there.
You don't think it's fake news?
No, and you don't either.
I don't. No, okay. I'm sure there's something to it.
Well, you know, I mean, when the first story came out about Andrew Wiggins, what, a few weeks ago, right?
Yep.
Okay, and then we talked about that. You know, if this story is true, you know, you don't want to see this taking place, you know, among your team, especially at this time of the year. Then he comes out, he doesn't want to play with Karl Anthony Towns, you know, and based on reporting that's out there, and we're commenting on the story that's out there, and it looks like to me he just wants to go somewhere else and play basketball next year, not the next year. You know, but in the old days, you know, you wouldn't have this. You know, guys calling each other out. If they did it, they would do it face-to-face.
Correct. Those were the good old days, really. Back to the Zone Lines. To St. Paul we go. Mike joins us in the Zone. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Just sitting here on a beautiful day, and my daughter next to me actually enjoying your show. She's doing some summer math homework.
Nice.
But getting some good learning here. Actually, previous caller asked really I was going to sort of ask that question too, Trent, because I know you certainly, you know, played many years with you know, Michael Jordan, kind of wondering if he ever had that feeling about players around him, like Butler, that, you know, this isn't working, et cetera. My question is this, what do you think, what needs to happen next right now? Do you think Tibbs needs to, you know, connect with Butler, or Tibbs and Butler and Towns and Wiggin, you know, sort of a, some little, you know, men's retreat or some way to kind of bond? And I feel like somebody needs to sort of at least take charge for the immediate season. Right now it's just sort of Butler's words hanging out there in social media and certainly causing a frenzy. But I'll just wondering what your thoughts are and what should happen next to make the season successful next year.
Yeah, up. Thanks. You bet. Thanks for the call.
Well, you know, I think the head coach needs to step in because it is his team. He knows Jimmy Butler very, very well. And if there is, you know, this rift going on between your best player and then your two young star players, you know, at some point in time, you need to sit down and have a conversation and figure out, okay, where are we going here? You know, can we patch this thing up? Can we make this, you know, can we make a run with this core group of guys one more time? We all know that Butler will have the opportunity after next season, you know, to test the free agency market. But if Tibbs is not looking to move him this year, if he's not looking to do anything different with his team, especially with his top three players, then he's going to have to find a way to put an end to this.
Don't you think as soon as that story breaks about Butler, that Tibbs is on the phone with Butler?
I don't know.
I mean, I would think that they...
It could be, but we don't know. We just all we are doing is going on based on what's out in front of us at this stage. So you and I are making the comments on the story that's out there,
right?
And if this story is true, you know this is how we're looking at it.
But regardless if it's true, if Tibbs sees that story, and obviously he did instantly. If not, he was told about it. I got to think he's on the horn immediately with Jimmy Butler and says, "Yo, what did I just read? Did you talk to this guy? You know, I have to believe they've had a conversation already."
Well, then maybe they should come out and smooth this thing over, because I read what Tony Parker said yesterday. Tony Parker said, you know, I didn't have a problem with Kawhi Leonard. He said, now a reporter asked me the question, was my injury worse than his? And he said, I said yes, because my injury was worse than his. He says, but it wasn't that I was trying to lessen the injury of Kawhi Leonard. He said, Kawhi Leonard had become the face of our franchise. He said, I took a step over. We moved over because we knew that this was the future of the San Antonio Spurs. Mm-hmm. He said, I do not have a problem with Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, when the story first came out, it sounded like he had a big problem.
Yeah, he said, I don't have a problem with Kawhi Leonard.
Right. And maybe that's what will come out here. I don't know where that came from.
I mean, but all we're looking at the story that's in front of us.
And
we're having a conversation based on the story that's in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And if this story has some merit to it, you know, you hate to see this type of thing taking place at this time of the year with your team. You win 47 games, like I mentioned before. You know, you go to the playoffs. You know, you have an electric atmosphere, like you said, in game number three against the best team in basketball at that time, the Houston Rockets, record-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And you're hoping as you move into the summer, everybody's going home to work on their games to become better basketball players so we can have a stronger team, and that the big three we have now can mesh together, see if we can make a deeper run this season. But now everyone is talking about, you know, this conversation that's taking place between Jimmy Butler and these two young stars.
And for all we know, just like the Parker Kawhi story seemed to have been blown out of proportion, it might have been Butler just saying, man, I worked those two young guns. I wish those two young guns worked as hard as I did. Man, we could be something. I mean, and then maybe the reporter
No. You've already set the stage. If you said something like that, I wish that you worked harder than I did.
Or as hard as I do?
Well, yeah. That's
that can be motivational. That's not necessarily ripping somebody.
It is ripping somebody.
Well, you can look at it that way.
Because you're questioning my work ethic.
Yeah. Well, maybe there's
publicly.
Reason to. Maybe there's publicly is the problem. But how is it conveyed?
But why would you assume that Towns and Wiggins are not working hard?
Well, I'm not assuming. He's with the guys all season long.
Maybe he didn't like the
commitment aspect.
Your conversation to me yesterday and today is that you're trying to find a reason why, if Jimmy Butler is saying some of these things, if he are saying some of these things, is because there has to be something wrong with Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. That's what it seems like to me.
Well, no.
Because you're saying they come out of college as number one picks.
I'm trying to figure out.
They come from big-time colleges.
They're very different paths to the NBA.
They may not have to work as hard to get to where they are.
Yep.
You know, just because you go to Kansas and Kentucky doesn't mean that you're not working hard.
I'm not saying they don't work hard, but I think Butler takes the NBA path differently than a lot of other players do. You don't. Butler, this is his life. You know,
this is their life.
Understood. But they have lots of interests. Karl Anthony Towns has a lot of interests.
Jimmy Butler does too.
Yeah,
that's Luke Bryant.
Likes country music and his
Luke Bryant. Isn't he cutting commercial with Luke Bryant?
Yeah.
Wasn't he on one of his videos? So he has a lot of other interests too. It's not like he's sitting in the room every day just thinking about basketball.
But Towns, you know, he doesn't get into social media that much. He doesn't get into all the stuff young players do. He's a quiet guy by all accounts. And Butler is more of a bulldog. And maybe he doesn't like the personality mesh between the two guys that are more laid back, where he's more in your face. It doesn't appeal to everybody. I'm just saying. I'm not saying this is the way it is, but I'm trying to read into why Butler, after 1 year, has decided, I don't think it's about those guys as much as it is, I don't like the competition in this conference. Let me head east with my guy Kyrie somewhere. We can get to the finals a lot easier.
I don't think
he says he's all about winning.
I don't think it's about competition.
We are so late, by the way.
Okay, but I don't think it's about competition. I don't think he's afraid of the competition. You know, some guys just don't like where they are at this stage in terms of the city that they're playing in.
Yeah, and that you know what, you might be right. I can't believe he's soured on this market. I think it's more this mix isn't going to get me where I want to go, and I want to win. I'm 29. It's time now to win.
Where else has he gone where it's been better other than playing with Derrick Rose when he was healthy?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe he tries to build something in New York with Kyrie and the unicorn. Can we break, please?
You're the guy in charge.
We are like 8 minutes late. We'll break. John and Joe, your calls next as we continue to roll on the Zone on the Fan.
You're in the Zone on the Fan.
Back with you, 9:24 on a Saturday morning. You're in the Zone on the Fan. Trent Tucker and me, Dave Sinekin, hanging out here for another half hour or so. We'll hand things off to Tee to Green with the common man, Dan Cole. Catching up on the NBA news, talking a lot of Wolves and the Jimmy Butler situation, if you want to call it that. One thing I did notice as I was doing some homework yesterday, Trent, the Rivals top 125 players for the class of 2020 was just released. And our guy, Jalen Suggs, checks in at number 10. The Minnehaha Academy stud, a top 10 player already for the class of 2020, which I thought was pretty cool. Also checking in on the list is Dawson Garcia from Prior Lake, Dane Danger from Park Center, and Ben Carlson at number 90 from Woodbury. So four Minnesotans in the top 125 class of 2020.
Okay.
Just caught my eye.
Yeah, Jalen Suggs is a wonderful young player, and you know, he's a tremendous athlete. You know, he's quarterback for his high school football team.
Yeah, he's got some potential as a quarterback,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and but basketball, I think basketball is perhaps his favorite game, and you know, watching him play over the last few years and how hard he plays, but he plays the right way. You know, he's the best player on his team. He's the guy that goes out and he competes, you know, for the entire game. But he's also unselfish, and he's willing to help his teammates, you know, be a part of the other party as well. And as a high school star, sometimes you may not find that mentality, mm-hmm, where a guy's willing to include his teammates, you know. But watching Jalen Suggs over the last 2 years has been fun.
It'll be fun to watch all those guys in their next couple seasons in high school and see if they rise up that list and where they end up playing. Obviously, Gopher fans would love to see all those guys end up playing for the Maroon and Gold. As
I would too.
I know you would. I know you would. To the Zone lines we go. Let's head back to St. Paul. Joe joins the program. Joe, thanks for holding.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I haven't talked to you guys in a while.
All right. It's all good.
Well, I first of all, I want to, you know, I talked to my son about this, and right when the trade happened, he was against it. And I came back to him and said, you know what, son, you're right. Too often, I think, in the NBA, we get so impatient. The whole super team thing, people say it's ruined the NBA. I think, I don't know if it's ruined the NBA, but I think a lot of teams are hitting the panic button instead of building things. People got to remember, Golden State drafted the guys they got. Now, the Kevin Durant thing happened, you know, through free agency, but they were already good before then.
Yep.
And when you look at the numbers of what LaVine came back from major injury and still averaged almost 70 points a game. Chris Dunn couldn't get no playing time for us, but he averaged almost 14 for Chicago. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, like, we've only got to kind of look at some of the decisions Tibbs made. And I'm going to be honest, I was in favor of it because I was like, hey, we're getting Jimmy Butler, an all-star. And I was wrong. I would have loved the combination of LaVine, Wiggins, Chris Dunn, Carl Towns. Plus, you would have had cap flexibility. You know, all these guys are young. Now you see LeBron goes to L.A., you're hearing rumors that, hey, you know what, I'm not forcing these guys to make another trade to get a superstar. Whether or not that's true or not, but if it is true, I like that, because you cannot just give up on guys and just say, oh, you know what, I'm going to trade this guy, and that guy to get this one guy. And then those three guys end up winning 45, 50 games for the team that, that they just got traded to. It doesn't make any sense. So I think the blueprint for sustainable success is building. Look at Philadelphia. Look at what Boston did. Boston's one of the few teams that stayed relevant with all these picks because they had traded Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and whatnot to Brooklyn, and Brooklyn didn't have competent management, and they gave them a ton of first-round picks.
Yep.
But if you look at it, their success has been draft picks and good coaching. So, Tom, the spotlight's on Tom Thibodeau, as far as I'm concerned. Like what you said, Davey, if it's true and Jimmy did say it, he needs to make that call. He needs to have a man-to-man talk and say, hey, are you happy here or not? And Jimmy needs to be a man. I'm like, no, I'm really not feeling it, you know? And if that's the case, hey, I'll trade him for Aaron Gordon for the Orlando Magic. I'll trade him for any young prospect or two or three prospects, and we'll move on. And it's up to Tibbs to coach those guys. And then a lot of fans going to have to look at Tibbs and go, hey, you know, we could have Mark Jackson. Maybe we could have Monty Williams. There's a lot of good coaches out there. You know, this is his third year coaching us, mm-hmm. or second year? Third year?
Was his third, right?
Yep, third year.
Yeah. I'm looking to see some major results because the talent is there. And he's the guy that's making all the decisions. He's the coach. He's the president of basketball operations. So the spotlight's really on him to make things really happen. You know, I mean, we can't have Chicago 2.0. I'm sorry. It doesn't work. It just does not work. And I'm not trying to bash what the Bulls did in the past, but, you know, the league is different now.
Yeah, we
you
get
know?
It.
You got to coach those guys up.
We got you, Joe. Appreciate the call. I'll disagree on looking back at the trade and saying wish we wouldn't have done it, because as you've made it clear, and we talked about it for years, you can't just keep adding young players and expect to compete in today's NBA. You bring in a Jimmy Butler, that's what this team exactly needed. Now, could we have seen, if what we're reading is true, the chemistry issues between Butler and the young players? No, we couldn't have seen that coming, but I'm not going to second-guess that deal and wish it hadn't been made. LaVine, Butler, and now Markkanen could turn out to be terrific players, but what this team needed with all that youth was a bona fide all-star, late 20s, in his prime veteran to be the glue for this team, and that's what they thought they had with Butler.
Well, I'm with you on that. I mean, we talked about that for years, you know, but like I said, if these reports are coming out now that, you know, if he's having this type of rift with these two young players, I just don't know how you put that all back together. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's like Joe just mentioned, and now it comes down to the head coach and the guy who's running the whole ship, you know. If he believes that he can find a way, you know, to mend these relationships, and if he can't, then he has to think about the team first.
9:31, we'll step away one final time. Andrew, Brian, John, your calls are next. When we return, In the Zone.
You're in the zone with Dave Sinekin and Trent Tucker on The Fan.
Back 9:37 on a Saturday morning. Tucker and Sinekin hanging out, talking NBA, and big upset at Wimbledon. Double T. Serena's path just got even clearer.
Yeah.
The number one seed falls. Tell me her name again.
Simona Halep.
Simona Halep dumped in round four, I believe this is.
French Open champion. Won the first major this year on the red dirt. She was serving at 5-3.
She was serving, leading 5-3.
At 5-3 in the third, but this young lady she was playing, she would just not go away. She kept, got every ball back. She might have had extra ball, and just wore it down. But Serena has a much clearer path now.
Nine of the top 10 players are out.
But Angelina Kerber from Germany is still hanging around. And she is also a major champion. So, you know, if there's one person who could stand in Serena's way if she got to meet her in the finals, Angelina Kerber could prevent a tough task.
All right. And the other news of the morning, World Cup. England has a 1-0 lead on Sweden. I believe they're 36 minutes into their quarter.
36
final.
Minutes in?
I can never understand.
I'm with you.
England leading Sweden 1-0, 1-0 to advance to the Final Four. Russia, Croatia, the next game today. Those games on Fox. That is your World Cup update. And now, as I flip to another app, I will tell you that the hard-fought Minnetonka St. Anthony fast-pitch state softball game, Minnetonka just took a 3-2 lead, bottom of two, with daughter Allie on the hill.
Tonka fast pitch.
For Tonka, the anchors.
So you headed down to St. Peter after the show is over, right?
I am going to watch a little softball. Really hope they can get this first game and be on the winner's side for at least another few hours. But we're excited about it. Tier 6 of the girls 12U. And they're up 3-2.
All right.
Kind of fun, this Game Changer app. I'm following along pitch by pitch. So we'll keep you updated because I know you're dying to know here in the next 15 minutes what happens.
I am.
To the zone lines we go. Three calls we want to get to before we run out of time, beginning with our good friend John in Minneapolis. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Sinigan. Good morning, Mr. Tucker.
John, what's happening, man?
Happy NBA. What side are you on? And a little bit of Green Bay click-clack for Mr. Sinigan today to you, Mr. Tucker.
All right.
I didn't heard it all. Your last caller probably took some of my thunder away from me, but point blank, Thibodeau and Butler, Towns, Wiggins, what side are you on? This is going to end horribly. I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. You can't have all of this. This is not what an NBA team needs, especially with young players and old players trying to mix. It's going to end horribly. Somebody going. I put my thing out there yesterday was saying, you know, Tiggs and Wiggins need to go and get Kyrie Irving here. I was thinking about Tyus Jones getting a little bit more time, but I don't know how this is going to play out. It just, to me, it just looked like it's going to end horribly. Mr. Sinigan.
Yes, sir.
Yesterday, I brought up the name Alex Van Pelt. Care to tell some of us NFL fans who he was?
He was the Packers quarterback coach who was let go after last season.
Okay, now, they let go of Alex Van Pelt, and they let go of Jordy Nelson.
Yep.
Mr. Sinigan, point blank, which one you want? A happy Aaron Rodgers, one that's involved with the team and wants everybody to be where they need to be and we can do this and get to the Super Bowl, or angry, robotic Aaron Rodgers that can mess around and get injured. And we know, and you know, especially you, Mr. Sinigan, how that played out last season. Which one you want? I get off, let y'all speak on it. Have a nice weekend.
All right. Rodgers and Van Pelt were close, but the bottom line is,
Who's Van Pelt?
He was the Packers quarterback coach, and he was charged with making sure Brett Hundley was ready to play.
Van Pelt?
Yes.
Okay.
Brett Hundley didn't play up to what the Packers needed him to play, and so the quarterback coach takes the fall. Sorry if it hurts Rodgers' feelings. And yeah, he was close to Jordy, and he'd like to have Jordy on the team, but at $12 million a year, when you've got to pay Devontae Adams and you're already paying Randall Cobb, you can't keep three $12 million receivers. And Jordy was the oldest, and coming off an injury, and had an off year last year. So, you know, he was the one to go. I don't think Rodgers' feelings are too hurt. There's a reason he is a preseason MVP candidate, and maybe the favorite, because last time he missed a lot of time and came back the next year, he did win the MVP. So don't worry about my team, John. Just worry about your purple. Worry about who's going to become the new Percy Harvin effect, and we'll let all the things kind of shake out. I'm not too worried. Feeling pretty good about my team's bounce back ability in 2018.
Sorry, is he still upset about his quarterback coach leaving?
Well, you know, this might surprise you, but Aaron and I do not talk in text more than people know. So I don't know.
I thought you did.
I think it's sure, you know, his buddies, they were close, but bottom line is his job was to make sure Brett Hundley could play. And it may not be all his job, but he's going to take the fall when the quarterback failed miserably.
The quarterback coach?
Absolutely. That's his job. I mean, you don't have to worry about Rodgers too much when you're the Packers quarterback coach. You have to worry about the backups, and that's the reason
So what if the guy's just not talented enough?
Well, that's why they went out and traded for DeShone Kizer. Well, said maybe he's more talented.
But the quarterback coach didn't draft this kid.
No, but he had 3 years to develop him and make him more ready than he was. And he didn't do his job well because Hundley wasn't ready. It's on Hundley, but it's also on his coach.
The talent's not there.
Well, maybe the talent is there and the coach couldn't get it out of him. Who knows?
We'll find out.
Who's to say?
Where's Hundley now?
He's still in Green Bay fighting for the backup job with DeShone Kizer.
He's been fighting for that job ever since he's been there,
yeah,
right?
He had a chance to show he had it, but he didn't do so well. The winner that beat Halep, I can't pronounce her name. Have you ever heard of her before?
No.
Hushe Suwe? We're going to go with that.
She played very well. I'm telling you, she was tough on the big points. She stayed in there. You know, she got one more ball back, and she forced Halep to hit one more extra ball, and she just could not come up with the goods.
Yeah, it's a big, big upset at Wimbledon today. All right, next up, in the order we got them, we welcome Brian from Anoka. Good morning. You're in the zone.
Good morning, you guys. After the NBA draft in the Minneapolis Star Tribune, Layden and Tibbs were, you know, talking about the draft and the team and the future and so on and so forth. And Tibbs was directly quoted as saying, "I talk to Jimmy Butler every day." And this wasn't during the season. This was every day he calls him. So my question is, you know, he has empowered this guy to, you know, to be the, I guess, the de facto assistant GM, the owner, or what is the deal? My question for Trent, did Hubie Brown call you every day, Trent? And did Phil Jackson call you every day off season to see how you're doing? What are you going to do today? You know, go play some golf? You're going to go out for dinner? What's up? I think it's ridiculous. I think it's a sign of big trouble that he has to leverage a phone call every day to try to get this guy back, and he's not going to get him back, and now we're in trouble. So I'll hang up and listen.
All right, thanks. I don't think anybody's saying that Tibbs has Butler on speed dial. They chat every day about life. Tibbs doesn't strike me as the warm, cuddly uncle type. But when a story like this hits the news, I guarantee you they had a conversation. They may not have talked for a couple of weeks, but at that point, Tibbs speed dialed Butler and said, "Yo, you know what's up?"
What the caller just said, Tibbs was quoted and said he talked to Butler every day.
Yeah, I don't believe. Do you believe that?
He was quoted.
Do you believe that?
If he was quoted,
do you believe that?
As anything's possible. If he was quoted, the guy was quoted. I would say it's a quote in the paper saying that I talked to Butler every day.
Did Phil talk to Michael every day?
No, but Phil never put that in the paper.
Yeah, that's true.
I talk to Hubie Brown every day. Hey, just, you know, if I could get Hubie Brown to say hello, that was a big thing.
Usually it was, hey six. Right? Hey, six.
You know, saying, no, he didn't use those kind words.
No. There's only three letters in six. Right. Most words he called you had four letters, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
All right, next up, we go to Rob in North Dakota. Rob, you're in the zone. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Sure. Say, I was just wondering, I'm trying to find any silver lining in this whole Timberwolves situation, and maybe there isn't, but I'm just wondering, do you think there's any way that this could possibly end up motivating Towns and Wiggins to, you know, put more effort in on the defensive end and put more work in, and whether it's whatever off-season workout, whatever it is that Butler's got a problem with. I mean, do you think this could end up ultimately being an okay thing?
Well, thanks for the call. In a seashells and balloons, all is wonderful world, we'd like to think so, but I'm not sure people are wired that way, that this is the way to get Towns and Wiggins to work hard, right, Trent? I mean,
No, I don't think so.
It just seems like there's other ways to reach today's athlete than ripping them in the press.
Yeah.
I'd like to think, your Towns, you go, oh, I should work harder. Thanks for the tip. Okay, I'll skip Fortnite for the next 3 nights, and I'll dig my nose into the playbook, and I'll commit now that that's what Jimmy wants. I don't think that's the way it works.
Because, you know, you and most fans around here believe that, you know, the future and the foundation of this team is Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
So Towns believe that he's doing everything right. I mean, even though, you know, adding Butler was a huge plus for them to get them to where they are today, you know, but, you know, this is just not a good situation.
You can talk about working hard and all that, but when I checked the past season, Wiggins and Towns were out there for all 82 games, and Butler wasn't.
Yeah.
And wasn't out there when it mattered most, when this team was trying to secure its playoff positioning. And even when he came back in the playoffs, he was a shell of what he normally is. He wasn't healthy. So he wasn't out there when this team needed him. Maybe he's the last guy that should be complaining about the situation.
Really, because, you know, Wiggins is very durable. He has shown his durability, you know, through his young career. I don't think he's missed many, many games due to injuries.
No.
And he hasn't been out for a long time. Every player doesn't play well every night. We all know that, you know. But the one thing that you would like to count on if you're a head coach is the durability factor. You know, guys who show up every night, you know, they strap up their boots and they go out there and they participate.
Right. That's what matters most, no question. Wolves may find themselves in the same spot as the Spurs, dealing with perhaps a disgruntled all-star with 1 year left before free agency. A listener who can understand that is our favorite Spurs fan, Jamar, in Brooklyn Park. Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
How about them Spurs?
How about our Spurs that's in total rebuilding mode right now, Trent? Now, goodness gracious. Look, I think, you know, losing Tony Parker to the Hornets is something that hurts, too. You know, now you got to go out and find another guard. Although, you know, we didn't have Tony last year, and we made it to the playoffs without Tony and Kawhi. You know, I'll say again, Trent, I think we've got to make sure, number one, because as I discussed with you last week, I'm not sure if Pop is going to stick around. I mean, 20 years, 5 championships, and now with all these youngsters, he haven't had this bunch of youngsters since he came into the league, right? I think that, we've got to stay steadfast and not set the precedent of letting a disgruntled player that's pissed off set the tone of when you should trade him. Look, him saying that, or the rumor of him saying that he would sit out is ludicrous. He knows good and well that if he acts a fool and sits out and doesn't play on his 1 year left, he's become toxic and teams aren't going to want to fool with him. And if they do, he's going to fall well below his deserved market rate. So I think that we'll be well served to, if Boston doesn't come with something, and that's the only team that really has anything to give us, if Boston doesn't come with something, then we'd sit on Kawhi. Look, I understand these guys kick me off how these millionaires, they get mad at each other because one guy criticizes the other to try to lift them up or tell them, dude, you're not playing, right? You know, you're dragging the team down. They get so upset about that, Trent. It kills me, but to become this ticked off over it is amazing. Now, he should be truthful to say, no, I just want to go win. And I could get that. But if we give this guy the upper hand and just let him go really with nothing, we look bad, Trent. We've got to just stand steadfast, don't you think?
I'm with you on that. I mean, if you can't get what you want in return, and the one thing you cannot afford to do now with the salary caps going up next year, you can't put your team in a situation where you can't be able to participate, you know, when some of those other top free agents who are on the market. And San Antonio, you have to look at this from a business standpoint and from a team standpoint and the future of their organization. For sure, they don't want to trade Kawhi Leonard. They understand the importance of Kawhi Leonard. They know how good of a player he is. But at the end of the day, you still have to make the right decision for the team.
Well, and the bottom line is, and I'll let you go with that, Jamar, if the player is unhappy and has made it clear, I'm going elsewhere when my salary's up, when my contract's up. I'm moving on. I just don't like the vibe here. Well, you can't just let him play out his year and let him walk away. It's happened before, but it sets you back. When you've got an MVP candidate like Kawhi Leonard and you know he's going to walk in a year, you don't have to do it now, but you need to make a deal by the trade deadline, I would think. You can't just open up the salary. Yes, there's money to spend, but you're not going to find an MVP candidate, at least if you move him. You're going to get some parts that are going to be with you and be core parts of your team moving forward.
But if you don't want those parts, so you offer me something for my best player, the parts that you offer me, they don't fit with me.
Right. Well, I'm not saying you just take a deal to take a deal.
But that's what's out there.
Well, there's no real need or urgency right now for a team to offer the Spurs a lot.
Right.
But end of the day, let's say you're Philadelphia.
What are you going to offer them? You're not giving Ben Simmons, you're not giving Joel Embiid.
Right, and they're not even putting Markelle Fultz into the conversation right now.
But Markelle Fultz couldn't play for Philadelphia.
Well, it was his first year. He was 19.
He's
coming off an injury. He was the number one pick in the draft year ago.
I would rather take my chances in the free agency market. I'll let Kawhi Leonard walk.
Rather than see what you can do with Markelle Fultz?
No doubt about it.
I disagree with that. I wouldn't just take nothing.
So you just going to take something?
If I could get a deal where it's like Fultz, Saric, a number one, maybe Covington, I could play with those guys.
Oh, no, man. I'd rather be in the free agency market. I'd rather, because if you look at how San Antonio has built their team over the last 20 years, as you and I talked yesterday, Tim Duncan, you know, was the last lottery pick that they've had, I believe, in the last 20 years.
I think so.
I believe so, yep. Okay, if that's true. And look at how they have built their team over the last 20 years. They have made good, sound, fundamental basketball decisions. They drafted Tony Parker.
They've been the model organization.
He was number 30.
Yep.
Okay. He know we believe he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Manu Ginobili, he was taken with 56 or 57 in the second round. We also believe that he's going to be a Hall of Fame type player. They have built their team, you know, by making good, sound decisions. And they have to make sure they make a sound decision now dealing with Kawhi Leonard. You make a bad deal now. You bring in the wrong pieces. You tie yourself up in the salary cap. And you can't participate when some of these big-time guys are out there. You could set your franchise back 10 years.
Right. No, I hear you. I just, you know, you look at guys like Saric and Fultz, I think those are serious building blocks. Those are nice young players. Fultz has a lot to prove.
Let me go out and see if I can get a Kyrie Irving or maybe a Jimmy Butler or DeAndre Jordan or Kevin Durant or somebody else like that, because I believe that San Antonio would be able to attract free agents to come and play for them.
Yeah, they've got the cachet for sure.
So there's no need to panic.
I'm not panicking, even though the St. Anthony Huskies have a runner on third with one out, top of the third.
What's the score?
5-2 Taka.
Wait, no, there's no need to panic.
5-3 Taka.
Is Allie pitching?
She is.
She's going to shut him down.
I hope so.
So what are you worried about?
We got to fly for Travis, for Trent. I'm Dave. Down to St. Peter I go. Stay tuned for Tita Green. We're back next Saturday. Thanks for joining us. Have a wonderful weekend. Until then, peace out.